We're talking about the abomination of desolation and what that has to do with this period of being between the straits.
And our ranks have been decimated.
Yeah. Let's go to, let's start off again in Deuteronomy. Go to Deuteronomy 18. Now this doesn't apply to you if you don't think that we're in the land. So you might as well close your ears if you don't think that. Where did I say to go? Deuteronomy.
I would like those sayings that the Bible is all about Jesus and it was written for the church.
This is a warning against practices of all men. And it's Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of these nations, or those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Now, you can say to yourself that I don't do any of those things. But let's look at just a little bit about what those words really mean.
What's a necromancer?
Huh?
Something about the dead people.
One who has, well, it's not just the dead people, it's the one who have an interest in their genealogy. One who gives breath to the dead.
Worship of the dead, breath, yeah. Engages with death.
Yeah, but it's much more than that. It's, well, what does it mean to make to have a son or his daughter to pass through fire? You wouldn't do that, would you?
I would. You can't not do that.
Does anybody know what that means?
Put your imagery of the way it ought to be under your expectations.
Remember, the God was Molech. And Molech had the head of a bull and the body of a man, and he was hollow. And they burned fire inside so that the metal became very hot. And the passing through the fire was to pass them through the arms of Molech to see if they would stand the test of fire. Now, none of you would do that, right?
Not like that.
Well, let me just give you a small example. Remember, the whole mystery of God has to do with dependence. Reliance upon only God. Now, somebody was right when you said that you can't not do that. You have to do that. But what it is, it's the things that you have taught your children or that your parents have taught you that cause them to be able to exist in society. The rules of behavior. The one I used to use all the time was, you can't have your dessert until you eat your vegetables. Well, anything, any rule of behavior that is carried on, I mean, it every rule of behavior that any society has that you try to pass on to your children is passing your sons and your daughters through the fire, through the Molech. And the whole purpose of it is so that those practices get seared in your being as the right thing to do. And every time there is that right thing to do, then as a believer, that is, the really bad ones are the ones you're teaching your children to do in God's name. It's endless. And so, but just think of how much those things affect you in terms of now in trying to be in a position of dependence only on God. Can everybody understand this at a gut level?
I remember you told us years ago that, I think it was the Chinese, consider a baby to be a human when it can smile when left by itself.
That's right. Until then, the Chinese culture didn't consider a baby to be human unless it can smile when it's left alone. And Jewish culture, they don't think it's a human being until it's gotten its medical degree, but...
Every one of these things, he graduated medical school. What happened?
Mouth.
Tickle. Carolyn's funny bone. What did you say I missed?
The Jewish culture doesn't think you become a human being until you've gotten your medical degree.
Kevin might want to take that.
No, don't take it out.
Well, I think this, every one of these things they mentioned has the same component of not trusting God but doing something to generate life.
Right. Now remember, that's the activity on the high places, on the seven high places of all your mind. It's the activities that, as a Gentile, you had to learn, otherwise you couldn't have walked across the street. You couldn't have survived. But once the temple is dedicated, then worship in the high places is now illegal. So instead of dependence on all these things, all those imaginations and high places have to be cast down and brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ so that you can literally live in the now and only that. No a priori considerations. Because if you do, what you will do is you'll put the name of God on your idols. And that's what is really blasphemy. You will say, you know, everything that everybody says is, this is a Christian nation. Well, listen, we're a Christian nation and there's a Christian rock. But the point of it is then their idolatry is so strong that they have to believe that God said that America is something or any country. It doesn't matter. Now, including Israel now, because there is no more. But that's why the high place worship is so ignored in modern religion, and it is so vital to coming to a place of dependency on God, to get rid of the high place worship. That's why Paul said, we no longer, our warfare is not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness in the high places. Well, when you hear preachments about that, that means it's a spiritual wickedness in the Democratic Party and in the high places. No, it's the high places of your mind that have defined your behavior. Now, it seems like it's impossible to ever come to the end of that because these are the actual essences of your ability to survive. But they're all evil from God. They're all part of the abomination that leads to desolation. There's only one other wrong God, and he has all these faces and manifests, but it's still this abomination of desolation that keeps you alive and keeps you going instead of dependency on God. And Paul warned about these that have a form of godliness but deny his efficacy, is the word, ability. Well, that's the nature of the human race, to have a form of godliness but deny his ability in a place of total dependency. And so you have to help, but you only help, you can only help with idolatry. You can't help with, you're not helping with you, you're helping with worshiping your idols. And when somebody challenges that idolatry, you become either angry or stone-faced. And this is why this understanding of the abomination of desolation is important, because it is the understanding of all of the gods. And so the being, the Antichrist, instead of Christ, your mind, has to have a place always where there is time. Because without time, there can be no idolatry. You need, you'd watch them fail. They'd fall down around you if you could only see that your life is no easy, that the gift of God was truly eternal life, a life not dependent on time. The truth was only that which didn't change with time. So that's what each of these things, when it's don't accept these, so it's passed through fire that uses divination. That's all the mind process is divination and sorcery. I take a little bit of this and I mix a little bit of that in it, and then I come up with, in fact, the world's definition of genius is the ability to take two disparate ideas and put them together in a new way. Well, that's perfect divination. And the world admires you for that. Just think of all of the times that you've been credited in school with, well, that's an original idea. Well, you know it's not. But it's that's compared to what? Or, oh, you're so smart. No. You know, maybe some of you haven't been told that, but maybe one or two of you have. But it's, you're not smart compared to anything. You're just a good sorcerer.
That this is really just a picture of how the brain operates.
That's right. Does everybody see this?
Yeah.
See it, Mr. Bojo?
Yeah, these are the graven images that we've spoken about.
Graven and molten. Graven are the value systems. Molten are the emotional component of it. And we're formed in fire. That's why there's so many of these emotional components, the molten images that you don't seem to be able to control, that you can't fake it because they were forged in fire. And so the only thing, as I've said so often, the only thing that's hot enough to melt the graven images, or the molten images, is the mercy of God. But you have to be willing. You have to see that none of those emotions that you have, your emotional response, it can't be right. It's the revelation of the worship of the molten image, because it's. Ever watch Harry explode for no reason?
Never seen that.
Said a minute ago, it's got it like a light coming on and starting to come on inside my head about how the Antichrist has to have time. In the moment, there's no time. So the only way to have time is to push back away from the moment and think and do these things on this list that we just read. It's the only way to create time is to push back and think and manipulate and objectify and separate and do these things.
That's what I just said.
Well, it's just dawning on me. In the moment,
there can't be. There can't be idolatry.
There's complete. There's just total one.
Yeah, that's good, Harry.
Well,
I would agree with it.
I love you guys. The This is, again, one of these things that we can't...
Now, what you're saying, what I've listened to you say for the last 25 years, it's too simple. What this book says and what you're saying, it's too simple. I mean, there's this little bit of light coming on about how simple this is.
But you had an emotional response a minute ago when I said I just said that. And then it doubled when he said, "That was good, Harry."
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, but that's
so what
the...
what do you want to make about that?
That's the example of a molten image.
Right. You got a problem with that?
Your need... Yeah, I do. Your need to be recognized.
No.
No, I'm not...
My need to not be ridiculed.
Well, okay, same difference.
No, it's
the same coin.
Well, it's two sides of the same coin.
Okay. But that point is the same issue. And that's why I always do it to you.
Right. Nothing I can do about it.
Well,
you just jumped out of the fire.
Well, the only way you can do about it is to see that you're accepted without even in ridicule or even in whatever.
Yeah, after the fact, but not... I mean, that it does just jump out of the fire.
I know, but
I can look back
and
agree with what you're saying. But I didn't control that. Sorry.
Well, but the control of it is that rather than repent of it, you attack. And so eventually, when you...
In the moment. Now, I know you're right.
I understand that, Harry. Listen, the mystery is to be able to repent of it as quickly as you get angry. But I mean, these, and it, you know, maybe, well, all these bastard because he does it on purpose. Well, that may be true. But I do it on purpose. What?
Very true.
Yes, Anna.
That wasn't the word I would have picked.
See, Harry, it was actually a bank shot. I was getting it all there. Praising you.
Yeah.
But that's why I mean this thing of sanctification is so important. It can't be done alone, because there's no way you would be able to recognize that these things are in fact sorcery or idolatry or divination or passing through fire unless it's seen.
Yeah, what Harry said a minute ago, it was like, well, I'm not responsible for that response because it was so instantaneous. But in fact, it's like saying I'm not responsible for my dreams because I didn't control them or something. You know, with repentance, that just is not there. It's a different thing that's happened. So there is responsibility that goes deep.
Well, the responsibility is to see the hopelessness of your condition.
Yeah, see, my responses are, I can stuff it as fast as he can speak it. That's the opposite of...
Well, you can stuff it, but your countenance changes. So you're not really stuffing it, you're just acting.
I'm just not, yeah.
You're just a better hypocrite.
Yes.
What?
Passive.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was passive aggressive.
No, but listen, the reason for this is to see the depth of our own evil.
Yeah. It is. And know that you have in fact been passed through Parms and Molech, and that these things are seared, and that it's hopeless.
Right.
Well, and this whole thing, the observer of times. I mean, that's total, because that's what defines your worth, is to be an observer of times. I mean, it's so deep, it's hard to even talk about. But I mean, it's universal. It doesn't matter which society you're in. You'll always have something to look forward to. Well, looking forward to is an observer of times. And that's, and there's a jillion others, but that's the essence of it. If you're looking forward to Friday, or looking forward to a vacation, or looking forward to anything, you're an observer of times. And that's a high place activity that's forbidden once the temple is dedicated. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own arm of understanding. And the fruit of that is your sleep shall be sweet. I mean, so the point of it is I remember the first time I told Harry that he was responsible for his dreams, and he almost freaked. Because that can't be. I mean, that's another it. That's another thing.
I know that's true.
All right. Or a charmer, or an enchanter, or a witch. I mean, again, a witchcraft, that's what rebellion is. Rebellion is not staying in that moment of peace. And the response to that rebellion is witchcraft. They're the same thing as what it says in the scriptures. Or a charmer, an enchanter, or someone that's trying to cause somebody else's response to be a certain way by how you present it. That's what an enchanter is. That's what a salesman is. That's what, you know, Gary thinks he's a great enchanter. Well, that needs to be repented of, not to be nurtured. I'm probably the worst enchanter in the world. I couldn't sell anybody a used car or anything. But when I was in politics, I was a very good enchanter because I never put anyone in an either-or position. You never pushed anyone against the wall. You always nurtured, and you were taught seminars how to nurture their positive aspects. And it's all enchanting, being an enchanter. Can you see this?
But your flesh still is that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you go back to self, there it is.
Yeah, I couldn't do it anymore because I've seen the emptiness of it. I couldn't. It's like going back to a pile of ashes. I've tried a few times. I've tried to be nice sometimes. It doesn't work. Now,
something you said earlier and something you always said about denying Christ is exercising any ability whatsoever on your own to accomplish something. And each one of these describes a different way of denying Him. And whether it's just a little bit or a whole lot, doesn't make any difference.
No, a charmer is what you do when you try to influence an audience. You know, I could very well be a charmer here if I for a moment cared what your response was. I mean, John the Baptist was the absolute worst. Well, Christ wasn't very good either, but the worst charmer in the world, because all these people came to be baptized of him, and he said, you sons of the snake, what are you doing here? And then he said, if you want to be baptized, you have to go to the other side of the Jordan and prove you're not worthy. And Jesus wasn't very good. Scribes and Pharisees, all of these things are just the things that Christ and John and the prophets and everybody just condemned are the nature of you and I. What you do when you stop and think about it, what are you doing? You're putting yourself above God. Not that you shouldn't, you have to do that until you've come to the end, until you've seen. It's not a matter of you. It's like what we've done with the kids. What we should have done with some of the adults. But the kids, we've always encouraged them to go push every barrier. Go do everything that's in you to do. Until you come find out that there's no there. And you are welcome to come back. Or you're welcome anytime anyway. But that's risky. When we started the school, it was a huge risk. And it still is. I mean, every day when you're in the position of a teacher, that's how do you not do this? How do you, you know, the thing that, remember, one of our teachers, he used to get in trouble all the time. He went so far as to throw a book at a student because he accused me of teaching the kids to rebel so that they would get mad at it, so that he wouldn't be able to control his class. And the other thing that he got in trouble for, anybody got in trouble for, is say, if the response from a teacher was ever, because I told you so. Well, that's oppression, not teaching. And yet that's what we've all experienced. That was our forming. But anyway, these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not allowed you to do so. So that's the whole, I mean, this is the concise little summary statement. But when you read the prophets, or read the First and Second Kings, and Second Chronicles, and Samuel, you'll see what happened. For a period of time in Israel, there was repentance from all this. And instantly, all these other high place activities started again. And then there had to come somebody along and just destroy them. But as long as you think that the temple has to be rebuilt in Jerusalem in order for these things to happen, then none of this is meaningless. I mean, all this is just it'll never be personalized. What? You see? Is there any part of this that any of you don't understand?
Here's something I think is cool. It's the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Like that. When you hear this stuff, you say, oh, I'm going to quit being a charmer and quit being a necromancer now that I've heard this. So you use another skill to combat those skills when it's just as bad. So
the only time the Lord thy God will drive them out is when you recognize the depth of your evil. And that is called repentance. So it's always, my God, I'm doing that. There's no hope. I'm no longer finding life in my own hand. I can't do anything. And leave yourself behind and see that again, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's the only hope.
That really hit me right there, that repentance is the turning to see something different. You see something different, but that's where it stops. The driving out is God's business, not the completed act of your repentance. Or that would imply repentance has, you know, that you can accomplish repentance on your own.
I've tried to get that point across for 30 years.
You finally got it.
It's like the thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness is your business, because if you can't forgive, then you don't know you're the chief of sinners. But reconciliation isn't your business. That's God's business. And all your attempts to have reconciliation are just having forgiveness and then using these forbidden practices to try to force something. Right?
There's a phrase that keeps coming back to me for like 6 months or more. Every once in a while, it just comes back to me. Don't give place to the devil.
That's because that's a scripture.
I know, but I mean, I can sense everything we just talked about is me giving, is providing, opening up and providing a place in here for me.
Yeah,
this conversation starts and all, everything starts, as opposed to there's no room for you in here.
It's just you being you. And that's why the whole idea of for Christ and John the Baptist and others to call the people that were believers and followers, to call them sons of the snake or you child of the devil. I mean, Nobody today reads that. I'm not a child of the devil. I'm a child of God. Any consciousness of self returns you to the Antichrist position, the instead of Christ. And again, every attempt you make to better yourself is to try again to make yourself acceptable to the God of this world, the one who has the right of first redemption. That's why all of the self-help programs have to fail. I pray that this has apprehended you, because it'll affect your second by second life. And John Rutledge sent me an email yesterday about a quote from this. From C.S. Lewis's, that's going to be in this movie, and is it Aslan the Lion? Is that who it is? Someone asked Aslan when something was going to happen, and he said, "Soon." And so, when is soon? Always. It's got to change you. You've got to see that this is totally a different way of responding to any stimuli. And you've got to see that all of the old way, and we're going to see when we read some more, that it's, can the leopard change its spots? And all of those kind of things. No, you can't change. You're not going to change your spots. That's why the leopard was one of the beasts in Revelation 13, when a description of each of us, because it can't change. It has to do. It does what leopards do. So this is your nature. This is the way you are. This is your hardwired. That's why the only possibility of sanctification is the abandonment of self. And you cannot abandon until you see the depth of your own evil, to the extent that you don't trust anything that your emotions or your mind tells you. But you no longer go up to all of these high places for your worship. You know, I've gotten a bunch of questions about tithing since that one day when I mentioned it once, and all the time we've had Bible studies. And this person doesn't believe in tithing, or I don't know what to tithe, or this should tithe. I said, you know, I went through that whole thing that we've done many times. You know, every person tithes. You tithe to your chief God. Every person prays. You pray 24 hours a day. That's your thoughts. You just pray to the stupid God. Everybody worships. You worship what you give breath or importance to. Everybody sacrifices. You sacrifice to what you worship. Being religious isn't an option. It's what you do. That's why this whole mystery of godliness and repentance is the abandonment of you.
That's what this whole thing was about this morning. It's a quote, what religion? Is it the religion of the people that I send you to, where enchantment and necromancy and all is the religion, or is it God?
All righty. Again, I didn't even get to where we wanted to start today. God.
I'm sure he's heard your complaint.
He doesn't pay him a damn bit of attention to him either.